105 Drive with Julian Clover.
It's Cambridge 105, community radio in your city, and my guests tonight come from the Cambridge Cookery School. We've got Tina Roach, who runs that particular organisation, and also Rachel Stonehouse, who is the winner of the Cambridge Bake Off. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Tina, let's start with you. So tell me a little bit about the Cambridge Cookery School, when it was founded, and what do you sort of do?
Yes, what do we do? It was founded nearly 5 years ago, and we have an award-winning kitchen just between Hillsborough Sixth Form College and Homerton. We won Best Cookery School in UK and Ireland. I sneaked that in last year, and have a lovely modern big kitchen. And what we're not, I think a lot of people think, is very sort of serious and a bit like a catering college. We do a lot of fantastic corporate events. We run our own courses from knife skills via how to cook fish and so on. We do private parties. So it's basically about getting people together and cooking together and having a wonderful time.
And what's your own background?
I'm a trained chef, and then I worked for many years for a very large global food brands doing sort of consumer research, really. So the dream about getting back to hands-on and teaching cooking was there for a long time.
Mm. And then from that comes the Cambridge Bake Off, which has been running a couple of years now, hasn't it?
Yes.
And that's how Rachel comes to us. But Tina, first of all, how did you, the popularity of the Great British Bake Off is probably part of it, and certainly the inspiration, I suspect, for the name. But what sort of entrance do you get in?
Very varied, but all very enthusiastically, which is wonderful. And this sort of started off it wasn't actually a brainwave of mine, but somebody else has been involved and who's very involved in the local scene, including the Eat Cambridge Food Festival that's coming up. And Alice at the Cambridge News was very keen, so we sort of had to find a good link.
Mm.
And we all agreed that there must be an interest locally. So the first year we had about 100 entrants, and about the same this year, slightly less, I think, just over 80 this year. And it just took off from there, really. We announced it in the paper and started tweeting, and had such a fantastic response.
Rachel, welcome to 105. First of all, congratulations as well on being the cream of the cakes, as it were. So what did you have to go through in order to get the accolade?
The first round we had to just send in a photo and a little kind of blurb about why we love baking. And then if you got through that, then the next round was, what was it?
Carrot cake.
This year. And so I think 48 people rocked up with a carrot cake.
So this is one you've prepared at home in your own kitchen, and then you take it along to the school, hoping that you're not going to drop it or anything on the way. And then it's judged by Tina and your colleagues.
Well, my colleagues, and we also have a fantastic local Italian lady called Deborah Bonas, who is a patissier trained out in Europe. She's from Sicily originally, so she really knows her stuff, and she's baking very high end things. So she's good to have on board as well. Plus a representative from John Lewis, who was this year's sponsors. So, yes, we had a very good team of judges.
Yeah, and so brought that along. And then if we got through that round, top 24, we then had to come in, and we actually had to cook in the cookery school this time, in, I think, batches of 12. And we had to make a chocolate cake. So they were quite varied, weren't they? I was kind of shocked by what other people.
So you're not allowed to.
Did.
Are you sort of allowed to bring in your own recipe, or is it like a set?
No, so we can bring in our own recipe, and we have to bring in all our own ingredients as well. And then you're given 2.5 hours to bake it from scratch. You can't do anything pre-done, and yeah.
But these cakes are far from, you think, well, 2.5 hours, you may think that's quite generous, but we're talking very advanced. I mean, it's very advanced cakes with amazing decorations. And I mean, that's one of Rachel's strengths as well. Her design, if you like, the artistic flair is staggering.
Is that part of it, really? The presentation just as obviously has to taste pretty good as well, but the presentation, it seems to be very much a part of the new phenomena, almost, of baking, if I can call it that, or the resurgent phenomena, perhaps.
Well, I think also if it doesn't look very nice, no one's going to really want to eat it.
Mm.
Like, actually, I think it can taste amazing, but if it doesn't look very nice, no one's going to even bite into it to try it. So I think presentation is really important.
So what did you do for the final then?
There was a semi-final.
Oh, good gracious me.
We had to create something involving creme pat and fresh fruit, and then that was eight, and then we top three. We had to create an Easter celebration cake, and all of it, the semi-final had to be baked again there in the cookery school, but the final we could bring the cake pre-cooked, but everything else, the decorations and the toppings and the fillings and everything had to be made there.
Wow, so you emerged victorious. What did you get as a prize?
A KitchenAid, which John Lewis supplied.
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
And yeah. I just think, again, I think hearing you say I could bring in the cakes, but I did the toppings, and we're talking a cake here that Rachel called the first signs of spring, and it involved meringue mushrooms. It had
honeycomb moss, yes. And fondant flowers, so primroses and little violets, and it had a big nest on top.
It's sort of masquerading as something else almost, but then you know, turned and crafted into what sounds to be a very nice cake by the sounds of things. Did you eat it all afterwards?
It was extraordinary. Obviously, us judges have been through, you know, a fair bit of cake, as you can imagine, and particularly in the first rounds when we're tasting, say, I think we had 84 carrot cakes. It's difficult to do justice, actually, to the last 20 that you eat, because it's very challenging in the end to have so much sweetness. But we have remained, you know, enthusiastic and committed, and we have been very enthusiastic at points, but I have not seen a reaction like the one that the judges showed for Rachel's winning cake.
How did she manage to get 21 out of 20 points?
That's, and that was for flavour, so it wasn't just that it looked extraordinary, because Rachel's style is very organic and very artistic, but it was simply so good that, you know, I can only liken the sounds to that scene in When Harry Met Sally. It was an extraordinarily good cake.
Rachel, you're very young, you're still at sixth form,
yeah.
I gather. Where do you sort of get your inspiration for cooking from?
I really like to look out of other cakes. I think a lot of people can look at other cakes and kind of take elements from that. I really like using a natural world, so a lot of my cakes are kind of naturally formed, I guess.
And is there an opportunity to do cooking and develop it, these skills at school and at sixth form?
No, not at all, really. I could do food tech at GCSE, but nowhere in Cambridge does a food tech or any of that kind of thing, AS or A level.
Do you think that's disappointing? Because I school in the 70s and 80s, and we had a kitchen there. It was variously called domestic science and then home economics, but then I hear horror stories of those kitchens being ripped out and used for other things, and I'm assuming it's the same in Cambridgeshire as it was in Essex and in Norfolk.
No, it's a real shame, because actually I can't get a qualification at this level on what almost I'm best at. I'm currently doing sciences at Hills instead.
And do you think there's a problem there to a certain extent, because people of your age are going to be lacking these skills, and I'm wondering if maybe some are going to come to Tina to get those skills, but for others it's just going to be missing?
Yeah, well, I think actually it's almost like you have to choose, so you can kind of, it seems like academia and food and kind of that creative side are quite a lot split. Like at Hills, it's very much academic, or you could go to CRC, say, but you wouldn't get that academic side at all.
Mm.
We see that a lot, and in fact we work with several of the sixth form colleges, and Cambridge being Cambridge, so driven by academic achievements, if you like, there is that suspicion that probably one doesn't need those sort of skills, but I think young people do, and we have seen a sort of almost a crash of those skills in just one generation. So we're running D of E Gold Award courses now, which is, you know, a 5-day course that I think sets you up for life, and we're also linked in with Hills Road and other sixth form colleges, so they can come to us and learn. But as you say, the sort of skills that they probably could have learned at school some generations back, and it's just gone.
Rachel, you have plans for a gap year, I gather.
Yes.
What are you going to be doing?
So I'm going to be moving down to Brick Lane in London. I'm working with like a cafe, church, bakery project thing.
You have to elaborate on that a little
bit. Yeah, there's a lot of different. So they started up a couple of years ago as a cafe church, but now they're planning to open a bakery this year. So that's where I come in. I'm going to come and bake down there. But they do a lot of work with vulnerable women in the area, especially trying to get them out of prostitution. So the hope is that they're going to train these women through the bakery to give them skills so they've got a steady income and employ them in the bakery so they can get out of prostitution. But also, it says so much to it. Also, they're hoping that the profits from the bakery can fund a safe house for victims of human trafficking. So
that sounds a wonderful project. You'll come back in perhaps when you've been there a little while and tell us how you're getting on.
Sure.
Be fascinated to hear about that. And Tina, I gather there's also plans for the Cambridge Cookery School. Are you moving? New kitchens? What's going to be happening there?
Yes, very exciting. Well, we're only moving on site, so you are the first one to announce it on air, I must say. Our landlords, Homerton College, have been wonderful to us, and they own the site, and we're on a lovely but very underdeveloped old site, which used to be the stonemasons in Cambridge. So it's going to be turned around to something much more fresh and lovely, because, of course, it's a lovely location, so central. And they will be building us over the next 12 years what will be our new home. And hopefully, summer 2015, we will have moved. So we're just moving lock, stock and barrel the kitchen and also adding a bit of space to it. So we're really, really excited about that.
That sounds great. Okay, well, best of luck with that. Congratulations once again to you, Rachel.
Thank you.
And thank you both for coming in. So Rachel Stonehouse, who won the Cambridge Bake Off, and also Tina Roach of the Cambridge Cookery School. Cambridge 105, community radio in your city, and Skye and Hattie are here with the regular look at film and sometimes theatre as well. And tonight you're going to be looking at what, guys?
Going to be looking at Noah and The Double, and we'll also be previewing The Quiet Ones. So, yes.
Is that a film about Hattie's career?
Well... But I'm going to start off with Noah. I did touch on it briefly last week.
I wouldn't know. I wasn't here.
Well, for the new people listening, it's Russell Crowe stars in a spectacular reimagining of the apocalyptic story of the Great Flood.
Our family is a great task.
You saw the wickedness of man. I knew you would not look away.
We have to save the innocent. Did you really think you could protect yourself from me?
It's not protection from you.
This ray is meant to wash us off the face of this world.
You want me to stay a child?
No!
I'm asking you to be a man.
We kill Noah! We take the ark!
The choice was put in your hand for a reason.
Our time is done.
When Noah, played by Russell Crowe, experiences visions of a catastrophic deluge, he seeks advice from his grandfather, Methuselah, played by Anthony Hopkins. Methuselah reveals that the disaster foretold is God's punishment for man's corruption of the world. It is Noah's destiny to construct a vessel to save the lives of the innocent. Together with his wife, Naamah, played by Jennifer Connelly, their sons Shem and Ham, and family friend Isla, he sets about building a giant wooden ark. But the terrible impending flood is not the only challenge Noah faces. A violent tribe of warriors led by his nemesis Tubal-Cain, played by Ray Winstone, want the ark for themselves. Black Swan director Darren Aronofsky serves up an awesome retelling of this great biblical tale of courage and sacrifice. The astonishing effects include a vast menagerie of CGI animals.
Yeah, and I was quite impressed with this. It was always going to be, I guess, a controversial topic, I suppose, because whenever you tackle, you know, religious content, it can have a bit of backlash. Let's be honest, this is a sort of an interpretation of what happened, you know, with the Great Flood.
Well, we don't know
and
precisely
everything.
What happened.
No, exactly.
The Bible
exactly.
Hasn't written down for us.
So,
but,
I mean, I personally haven't reread the Bible telling in ages anyway, but I thought it was interesting in the way they kind of... try to make everything more sort of grounded in reality. Well, I say that the whole construction of the ark, like how did Noah build this massive ark to house all the animals? Well, apparently there's fallen angels involved with it, so that was an interesting take I weren't expecting. And it doesn't just deal with the flood, it deals with you know, with Darren Aronofsky, he deals with his characters on a much more deeper level, and also quite often with suffering. You only need to look at Requiem for the Dream, Black Swan, The Wrestler. They're all dealing with characters that are not, you know, the best. They're not the whiter than white characters you expect. And maybe that's also what's a bit different from this Noah, is although he's, you know, he's probably the best of a bad bunch, you know, he still has flaws, and he's just as human. And
so,
you know,
is there a religious feeling to it in any shape or form?
Are we
aware that there is a God who tells Noah, for example, to build the flood?
Yeah, I mean, he's not referred to as God, it's just the creator. So, you know, it could be...
So has it been sanitized then for an audience? Because this is quite interesting. So we're saying that it's a religious film, but the religious elements, which, you know, this films like this are going to attract criticism from some quarters anyway. Mm. But then if you take out the religious elements, that seems cheating a bit.
You could say that. In a way, it's trying to focus...
We had God
more...
in it, but it didn't test well. You know?
apparently, there were, like, several cuts. Apparently, the studios did do secret screenings without the director's knowledge of different cuts of the film to see how it had come across, which he wasn't happy about. But I believe this is pretty much how he wanted the film to turn out. And yes, it does take a lot of the religious elements. It's part disaster movie, part family drama, and it's dealing with, you know, Noah's guilt of, you know, doing... He knows what needs to be done, and he knows that everyone's going to die, apart from his small family and the animals. And, you know, it's just the decision that he has to take, but it's all about sacrifice and a sense of duty and, you know, belief as much as anything. So I enjoyed it. It had a great score to it. The effects are great. It felt a bit 2012 to begin with some of like the effects, but this is Darren Aronofsky's like sort of big budget film with a big cast. All the cast are great. Russell Crowe is, you know, good as usual. Jennifer Connelly is good. Emma Watson, Logan Lerman, Ray Winstone for a change. He's not playing a typical Londoner type. I'd recommend it, certainly for the interest, even if you're not particularly religious or anything like that. So you can catch it at Cineworld tonight at 7:30 or 8:30. It's on tomorrow at 1:30, 5:20, 8:20, 9:20 and 11:20. And it's also showing at View at 8:15, 8:30, Friday at 10:20, 1:30. 2:01. There's a lot of showings, basically.
Check local listings for details.
Yeah,
when did you go?
Last Monday.
Did everybody queue up 2x2?
They didn't, I can say. But it's rated 12A as well, so that's Noah for you.
Okay, more to come. What are we doing next?
We've got the double.
Yeah. We'll do a piece of music first. It's the 10,000 Maniacs. Noah's Dove, that's the 10,000 Maniacs. See what I did there?
Very clever.
Thank you very much. Right, we're going to move on. What are we talking about next?
Next, we've got The Double. Jesse Eisenberg and Maya Wasikowska star in a deliciously dark comedy about a man who's usurped by his own double.
Hey, you got a call.
Oh, it's not for me.
Frumpy-looking guy named Simon.
It's me.
You've been here, son, just started, eh?
Yes, sir, 7 years ago.
Yeah, now the creepy guy's here again.
Hi, creepy guy.
I'd like to introduce everyone to our newest co-worker. Please welcome James Simon.
Have you spoken to the new employee?
James. Yeah, sure, a minute.
But did you notice anything strange about him? I mean, did he remind you of anyone?
Who did you have in mind?
What'll it be?
I'll just have a Coke.
A Coke. And you?
Scrambled eggs.
And I'll serve breakfast in the evening.
Well, do you still have eggs here?
Yeah.
And do you have a frying pan?
Yeah.
Then give me the damn food. Simon, how come you don't have a girlfriend?
I don't know. There's someone I've been thinking about. I have all these things that I want to say to her. I know what it feels like to be lost and lonely and invisible.
You have to go after what you want.
You really think she's looking at me?
Yeah.
All right, now lick your lips.
Yeah.
What? Show the tongue, but be careful not to look like a lizard. Go.
I attract so many weirdos.
Never met anyone like James.
What is so unique about him?
You're not thinking of killing yourself, are you?
No.
Should I put him down as a no?
Put him down as a maybe.
This guy just started. Why can't you work like that?
This man is a fraud.
Stop following me!
He stole my face. This is not me. This is not me, sir!
Meek and mild, Simon James, played by Jesse Eisenberg, feels as though he's disappearing. He lives alone and works in a dreary office job where nobody seems to notice him. To make matters worse, he's become obsessed with his sexy colleague and neighbour, Hannah, but is unable to even strike up a conversation with her. Simon's life changes dramatically with the arrival of a new co-worker, James Simon. Physically identical to Simon, James is his exact mirror image in terms of personality, outgoing, confident, risk-taking and an enthusiastic philanderer. Richard Ayoade's follow-up to his BAFTA-nominated Submarine is a strikingly original adaptation of Dostoevsky's novella of the same title. Zombieland and The Social Network star Jesse Eisenberg leads a great cast that also includes James Fox and Paddy Considine.
Yes. Well, I went to watch it last night. I was looking forward to it, not really knowing that much about it. I mean, I was familiar with Dostoevsky's The Double, and I think with this film, we've seen Ayoade's, director. I've seen Submarine, which was very, very, very nice, very EU-centric. And a really nice film. This one is a lot darker. It has a lot more black comedy in it. But you can see he wears his influences on his sleeve. So you could argue that the originality sort of... It's not so original purely because it takes lots of elements from other areas. I mean, you've got the Franz Kafka-esque absurdity. You've got the, references to other films like Rear Window, Fight Club... it deals with a lot of these. It's a very dark film, like setting wise, but the cast is great. Jesse Eisenberg playing twins is really interesting to watch, and it keeps you in, keeps you following what's going on. And so I definitely recommend being a watch. I think for some people it'll be a bit slow, and if you're not if you don't quite catch the humour, then you might be in for a long ride. But
how long is the movie altogether? I'll ask this question.
93 minutes.
Oh, that's all right. That's about my length. I might go and see this one. I haven't seen James Fox in anything for ages.
No, I keep thinking of Jamie Fox.
No. No relative either. Completely different person.
Yeah, he's but the director has cast a lot of people he's worked with in the past. You see people from the IT Crowd in it, Chris Morris as well. Paddy Considine.
So it's a British film, I'm presuming, here.
Yeah, it is.
Didn't feel like it when I saw the clip. It's very, seems to be very well shot.
He's definitely a skilled up-and-coming talent, and I think he's dealt with quite a mature subject and tackled it in a way that, makes it entertaining as well as philosophical as well. So yeah, I'd recommend it. It's only showing at the Picture House at the moment, and you can catch it at 8:30 tonight or tomorrow at 11:15, 4:15 or 7:15. And it's rated 15. So yeah.
Okay, one more to do. We're just gonna have a brief look at The Quiet Ones, I think.
Yes, it's got Jared Harrison and some other fellow.
Sam Claflin.
Okay.
Lovely Sam Claflin, who plays Finnick O'Dare in The Hunger Games.
Okay. And this is a horror story about a group of university students that try to form a poltergeist.
If we can cure one patient, we cure all mankind.
You're not possessed, Jane. You're just unwell.
Help!
What a teaser. An academic conjures up a poltergeist with terrifying consequences in this spine-chilling, fact-based horror. Oh, no.
Fact-based horror.
Ooh. In 1974, Maverick Oxford University professor Joseph Coupland, played by Jarrett Harris, who we also saw in The Mortal Instruments, another fandom notice there, undertakes a dangerous private experiment. He recruits Brian McNeil and some fellow PhD students to assist. Their subject is a disturbed young woman named Jane Harper, who can remember nothing of her troubled past. Coupland's intention is to demonstrate that whatever they create in the laboratory is merely a manifestation of what already exists in her damaged mind. But the experiment goes horribly awry when the team find that they have awakened a horrifying power before beyond all scientific explanation. Inspired by real events, this is a white-knuckle ride of a supernatural horror film from the legendary Hammer Films.
Mm.
Inspired by real events. I watched that trailer.
Which real events might they be then?
Yeah, maybe
they all studied at Oxford.
Yeah,
about it. Yeah, there's Oxford for you.
So that's out tomorrow. Also, you've also got out Calvary, which is the new John Michael McDonough film starring Brendan Gleeson, who previous film was The Guard. Also, you've got Kumba.
And Harry Potter.
Yeah. And Kumba, A Zebra's Tale, which is a new kids film with a big cast. I believe Liam Neeson has got one of the voices.
No way! I didn't know that was coming out.
Are you not?
No, that one of the voices in that, this is all fandom-based today, one of the characters in that is voiced by Joey Richter, who played Ron Weasley in the Team Star Kid parody musical, A Very Potter Musical.
You're going really on the outskirts now, aren't you? And also The Ray 2, which I'm looking forward to.
Yes.
The sequel to the Indonesian sleeper hit of lots of martial arts about a lone copper taking down a criminal underworld with his feet and fists. Yeah.
It's much better than Sky Makes It Sound, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Is it as good as the new Muppet film, which I haven't seen yet?
I still haven't seen the new Muppet film.
We should go together.
Yes, we should. Oh, let's do it, Julian.
And also, to come in the coming weeks, you've got The Amazing Spider-Man 2 out on the 16th of April. Woo-hoo. It was on the 18th, but they have moved it earlier now.
Premiere tonight, I hear.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. So we are one of the first countries to get it.
Not invited.
How could they?
I'm busy.
Yeah, and that's films from us.
Okay, that's excellent. More films, by the way, on Saturday lunchtime. 12 o'clock is the time for Bums on Seats with Toby, Sarah, Simon, Steph and Owen. They too are looking at The Double. And Noah, remember where you heard it first. And also they've got The Raid 2. Is also going to be covered with them. And also they have an interview with the Nigerian-born film director. Oh dear, I shouldn't have started this. Baya Bandele, whose adaptation of the best-selling Half a Yellow Sun opens at the Arts Picture House this weekend. So Bums on Seats between 12 and 1 on Saturday.
I was going to say that's got Chiwetel Ejiofor, who won... Did he win the Oscar for best actor? Well, it was in 12 Years a Slave, basically, so that's looking to be quite good as well.
Okay, we've got theatre on the way. For that, Hattie has one of her choices to listen to. Junior, senior, move your feet. And Hattie was doing just that. I've discovered during the course of that song that our Twitter account, at Cambridge105, is being followed by Dickie McKay.
Silence.
Are you aware who he is?
If you ever pass McKay's,
going along the, was it that? It is sort of East Road, I think, at that point.
Oh, yeah,
and
I know the one.
There's this, like, figure dressed just in sort of day glow wear. But apparently he has his own Twitter account, which has 681 followers.
Amazing.
They're trying to encourage people to have selfies taken with him as well if you go past. It's
brilliant. We should definitely go and do that.
I think you need to. Right, theatre, though, before you rush off.
Theatre, yes. So coming up at the ADC Theatre this week is Ballet Central. This is a touring company, obviously predominantly ballet. They return to Cambridge with an exciting programme of ballet, contemporary and jazz dance. The varied repertoire features a mix of newly commissioned works and much-loved revivals, which showcase the talent of the company's young and emerging dancers. New works this year will be from acclaimed choreographers, including Daniel D'Andrea Andrada.
Say it quick and nobody will ever know if you get it wrong.
Christopher Marney and Sarah Matthews. Ballet Central performed at the London 2012 Olympics and has just returned from a sellout season at the Edinburgh Fringe. This family-friendly show is ideal for dance enthusiasts as well as those new to ballet. Don't miss this opportunity to see these highly talented dancers as they launch their professional careers. I haven't seen Ballet Central before, but I have only heard good things, which is brilliant. Everybody says that the performances are quite remarkable and really beautiful to watch. It is quite packed out, but there's still a few tickets available for Friday night at 7:45 and for the Saturday matinee at 2:30. Those are the only performances, so get those tickets while you can. Tickets are £12 for adults and £10 concessions. You can get those on the ADC Theatre website or from the ADC Theatre box office on Park Street, and you can call them on 01223 300085.
It's a Cambridge number.
It is a Cambridge number. Yeah. Did I say the?
No, I just was just emphasising 01223. It's a Cambridge number for those people who dial for mobile phone and need the code.
Coming up next week as well is Guys and Dolls, running from Tuesday the 15th to Saturday the 19th of April. Not so many tickets towards the start of the week, but plenty for over the weekend. And the week after that is Barefoot in the Park, from Tuesday the 22nd to Saturday the 26th of April.
I think I've got tickets for that one.
Oh, lovely. Mm. I'll see you there.
Well, Thursday night. I think it's Thursday night, but I think it clashes with something else, so it was contemplating moving.
What, radio?
No, it's the Fred's House album launch, which is also that night.
Ooh,
you see. So
that's
a bit of a divey clash.
Lovely. Mm. Coming up around Cambridge, we've also got the Concert for Campsite, which is a charity concert at West Road Concert Hall this Sunday. Check adcticketing.com for prices and... I will tell you the time that it's on, though. That would be generous of me. 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets are £20 for adults, £17 for concessions, and £10 for students and children. And also coming up the week after is Creative Cabaret, returning to the University Grad Pad on Friday the 25th of April. There's still a few tickets left, which is quite unusual because they always sell out. And those tickets are £18 for adults, £10 for students and job seekers, starting at 7:45. And again, you can get tickets from adcticketing.com.
I have a feeling we have a guest coming in from there on the programme next week.
Ooh,
but I need to check my own notes to try and remember which day that might be.
They're always brilliant shows. They always sell out, and yes, brilliant reviews.
Okay,
so check those out.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Julian.
See you soon.
See you next week.